This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're starting off our show with the ongoing kerfuffle around AirAsia, recent flight delays, and what kind of, I guess, compensation or service is fair in cases like these. Now, the latest is that we're seeing all sorts of calls for investigation and further looks at, perhaps even policy made around a situation like this. Yesterday, Dato Sri Alexander Nantalingi, Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister, demanded answers from AirAsia following all these complaints about flight reschedulings. In a series of tweets, he said that he had contacted AirAsia for an explanation on the flight delays and the rescheduling of flights that exceeded 6 hours, and talked also about raising the rights of consumers to receive compensation, and asked AirAsia to provide a guide on the process to file complaints. He's also urged the Transport Ministry and the Malaysian Aviation Commission, or MAFCOM, to be more proactive in solving these problems. Now, for what it's worth, the Transport Ministry has instructed the airlines involved to rectify these issues, and the Minister of Transportation, Dato' Sri Dr. Wee Kah Siong, said that the Ministry and the Civil Aviation Authority of Malaysia and MAFCOM have received and investigated passengers' reports and feedback, also saying that authorities have reprimanded parties involved to ensure strict compliance to technical, economic and safety regulations, and will not hesitate to take action against operators that fail to do so. On AirAsia's part, they have apologized to customers for the inconvenience caused. Riyad Asmat, who is AirAsia Malaysia's CEO, said that there were several unavoidable incidents resulting in delays beyond the control of the airlines, saying that, AirAsia tried their best to ensure minimum impact, and one of the factors that caused flight reschedulings were increasing demand for domestic flights from April 1st, and that AirAsia is now operating with only 40 aircraft compared to almost 100 pre-pandemic, and there were incidents like bird strikes, damage from foreign objects, and lightning strikes that had resulted in 3 to 5 aircrafts removed, and that 90% of the complaints filed between January and April have been resolved. So moving forward, they are going to notify passengers of any changes to flight schedules via email and SMS to the number that is registered, and also said, well, if you need further assistance, you can contact them directly. And I think that, this incident has opened up a variety of conversations with different threads involving, including things like the investigation and what it is that we should expect from aviation authorities in cases like this, but also on the airlines part, right? What is it that consumers can expect? How do incidents like this color how people view airlines or how people view travel, especially in a period where it's opening up and that's exciting, but it's also somewhat fraught because, well, there is this increased demand and also people are just getting used to traveling once more. So, we're going to get into it after this with aviation expert Ron Bishop. We'd like to hear from you in the meantime, though. How would you like to see airlines respond when there are flight delays? What do you think would be reasonable? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we are starting off our show with looking at the ongoing sound and noise, kerfuffle, really, uproar surrounding AirAsia flight delays and compensation. And we'd like to hear from you. Essentially, how would you like to see airlines respond when there are flight delays, as we have seen in recent times? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this is aviation expert Ron Bishop. Ron, good to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lynn.
So, as we've said, AirAsia is being inundated with complaints of flight delays and rescheduling. Has this been an issue across the board for airlines post-COVID?
Oh, yeah, this is worldwide. A lot of demand is coming back because we're not locked down, and they're unrestricting travel. And worldwide, we're seeing a huge demand, especially in the regional market.
And if we look at a specific situation here, there have been complaints where customers purchase tickets online only to be informed really mere hours later that their flight has been rescheduled. These are even for flights in 2 weeks' time, things like that. What could the airline have done differently to avoid issues like this?
Well, if it's 2 weeks out, that lets us know that they're at least warning you, so they are communicating quite well. However, it's disconcerting that you have to get a new flight or figure out how you're going to get there. There's not a whole lot they can do because there's just a shortage. We shut down a massive industry like aviation worldwide was pretty much shut down, especially at the regional levels and international as well. And then it took us about 100, 120 years to build the aviation industry up. We shut it down for 2 years. And then now that it's coming back up, we're experiencing some shortages on aircraft and then shortages also on maintenance, which limits how many aircraft you can put in the air, and then also shortages on air crew.
So as you point out, I mean, this is something that is difficult to contend with at this point in time. Do you think, is this likely to be the case when we travel or when we fly for the short term, in the next few months, say?
Oh, well, I hope so. Although we had a pilot shortage going into the pandemic. Well, the pandemic reduced the pilot shortage, of course, because the demand wasn't there. However, now the pilot shortage is now twice as much as it was before, and it takes a long time to create pilots and also air crew and train maintenance, because if you let someone go and you give them a nice pay package, they go off and do something else. And while they're off doing something else, we lose that skill. So that's probably where government could probably help out the most by identifying, they probably already have, I just haven't looked into it, but where they can identify a shortage of skills and then make sure that the training is happening. So that way, in a year or two, maybe we'll not be in as bad shape as we are now.
If we look at things that are beyond the actual flying times, there have been complaints about customers, essentially how they were treated during the waiting period with no accommodation or food vouchers offered. What kind of service or compensation is reasonable for customers to expect in situations like these?
Well, in the past, they used to give you a hotel and food, and we were taken care of. However, with the low costs, and now we want the $100 ticket, we want a gourmet food, we want to bring the whole house with us in 20 bags, but something's got to give. So when you lower the price, especially for regional where it's very low cost, say $100 to get somewhere, I'm just using that as an example, you don't get too many frills. And one of them that you lose is if the flight cancels or if it's delayed, then they don't give you the frills that they used to probably only 10, 15 years ago. Yeah, I mean, if I wasn't in a rush, I used to kind of get excited if it was delayed because they usually took care of you pretty well. But now they can't because the margins just aren't there. We're trying to pack too many people into the plane at $100 a ticket or whatever the number is. It's pretty close to that. And there's just not enough to pay 300, 400 people to go stay at a five-star hotel downtown.
We have a message from a listener, Winks, who's asking a question. If there is a shortage of aircraft, then why accept that many bookings?
Right. So they always overbook, right? So that's just the normal. They usually overbook about 10 to 20% because that overbooking, a lot of people cancel before they actually get to the flight. However, with the pent-up demand, you know, there's a lot of grandmas out there that want to see the grandkids, right? They haven't seen the grandkids or possibly even a new baby in 2 years. And you know, family and travel and work, people, a lot of pent-up demand. So my guess is no one's canceling. So if you're not canceling, then full, and then everybody shows up, there's 20% that may not get on the flight. In the clip that you were going through, they only had 40 aircraft that they're running. Well, if one of those aircraft breaks, and so it's a flow-on effect of just losing one aircraft. And when they say you're limited on aircraft, that may be a personnel problem where, yeah, they have the aircraft, but they don't have enough maintenance people, or they don't have enough service people to maintain the aircraft or keep them in the air. that may be a limit as well.
AirAsia has, of course, released a formal apology, citing insufficient aircraft, which we've talked about, the need for maintenance and repair because the planes were grounded for so long. What do you make of the response?
Yeah, fair enough. It's pretty standard industry response. They're stuck in the middle. I mean, we had to shut down and well, we didn't have to, but the results from the policy of some of the COVID policies resulted in worldwide shutdown of aviation. And we kind of knew this was going to happen. We've never done this before, right? We've never shut down aviation for 2 years where it just goes dead. And I'll give you an example. So one of the things that's limiting people from being hired here in Australia, and it's probably happened in Malaysia as well, is that when you get hired somewhere, you have to have a flight line access badge, identification badge, right? So the backlog just to get one here is 6 to 8 months. That's what they're telling everybody. Hey, expect 6 to 8 months to get one. It can be streamlined 2 to 4 months, but people are experiencing up to 6 to 8 months. Well, that's probably happened in Malaysia and worldwide. I know America's going through that as well because they just aren't used to everybody trying to get flight line access badges rebadged and also to get new ones. So that it's just a limitation. There's so many limitations that you just can't fire up an industry that we've worked so hard to get up after 100 plus years and shut it down like that and expect us to go right back. One of the problems, too, is on the pilot side and the maintenance side, we always forget about maintenance. We don't list them. But to get a maintenance person with 10 years or 12 years experience, it takes 10 to 12 years. So if you give them a bunch of money and say, hey, we want you to go do something else for the next 2 years, they might find something they like doing, and then they don't come back, and you lose that experience. So that's probably also hurting, too. So AirAsia, they're just stuck in the middle and trying to make 40 aircraft seem like 80 aircraft, right? They're trying to perform 80 aircraft worth of service with only 40 aircraft, and something's got to give. I'm just glad that sometimes they'll, you know, sometimes safety will be ignored. And sounds like they're at least adhering to safety and they're not pushing the envelope, which is really good. We'd rather them, you know, you'd rather be canceled on a flight than the flight not make it. So I wish I had a better answer than that. That's just, it is what it is.
You know, considering the various factors that are at play here. And as you point out, a lot of this being industry-wide, the Transport Ministry has instructed the relevant airlines to rectify the situation. But taking all these things into account, what can actually be done?
Well, one is training, right? So identify that there's a skill shortage, training, incentives to come back. It'll be from the industry as well, but also it could be from the government. Right. So the government could say, hey, these skills are in shortage. If you decide to go into that field or come back to that field, we're going to give you, an incentive somehow, right? Tax free or I'm not sure what the incentive would be, but something on that lines. Training is key because you want to get the training pipeline going because that was shut down. So, we were supposed to be about 30,000 short. And by 2030, now we're looking to be 60,000 pilots short by 2030, which is only, seven and a half years from now. So that's not very long as far as aviation goes. So incentives there, training, also government incentives on certain issues, allowing contracts. Sometimes they don't allow contractors to work, so allowing contractors to get other contractors that provide other services that aren't safety critical. That could be catering. That could be some other stuff that streamlines the process. And then also, sounds like AirAsia is doing a pretty good job, but communicating the best that they can. Hey, we're, you know, like kind of like what they did. Hey, we had a bird strike, and hey, we lost a plane there. And, you know, you lose a plane from a bird strike, it could affect 8 to 10 flights that day. So a lot of people don't realize that you know, if you cancel 8 to 10 flights, and the bird strike could happen in the morning at 6 a.m. However, it could affect a 6 p.m. flight because that aircraft's not there. So they could possibly start working on getting the fleet built back up And but I don't think it's so much the fleet. I think it's more getting maintenance people to get the fleet ready to be safe and operational.
Now, the other side of this has focused on compensation and whether enough is being done there. Is there enough clarity and transparency when it comes to the process of applying for compensation as a passenger?
Well, it's gotten a lot more convoluted. That's just because of the lower cost. They can't compensate like they could have. However, when there is compensation due, they should be able to apply for it and be able to apply for it. And really, that's possibly where the government could get involved, where to create a policy of a fair and equitable way to pay someone back, right? So that they could do that or give you a voucher. In the past, they would say, hey, look, we're canceling this flight, but we're going to give you a first-class ticket to anywhere domestic. And most people would go, oh, fair enough, you know, something like that. That would be okay. Or even another ticket and possibly a meal voucher or a free meal on the next one. You know, a little bit of an incentive next time. But because they're not getting as much income as they were in the past, and they're trying to start from probably 50% capacity, right? 40-50% capacity, trying to grow it back out. And without having that income over the past 2 years, they're probably on a shoestring budget, which is it is what it is. So, but the government could probably help with lowering some of the red tape and making it very clear of what almost like a constitution. If you get canceled, you should get at least this, right? Or an option of this. I think one airline I really liked, they would give you a lot of sky miles. I'm just using sky miles, but, you know, a lot of sky points or airline points towards flying. And that was I did that once and I chose it and I took the next flight. They gave me a flight anyway. And then I used that flight later on for another vacation, which is really nice. So something like that. And they could give 3 or 4 different options, you know, like a later flight, a reduced ticket, or possibly a first class ticket or sky points, but at least make it clear when you buy the ticket, this is a non-refundable or this is fundable or yeah.
So in line with that, there are policymakers calling for regulatory authorities to penalize airlines if nothing changes, and there's been nothing announced yet. But I mean, what could this look like in terms of what would be fair for both sides of this, right? For the companies as well as the passenger.
Right. Right. That's what we need to work out between industry, government, and the passenger. And it comes down to us, really, because as a passenger, I know I can't speak for everyone, of course, but you can see it in the airlines, right, and what they offer. We voted with our money, and that is we just want the flight. We just want to hop in a seat for an hour or two, get to our location. We're not worried about the nice meals anymore, right? We're not worried about the over-the-top luxurious travel experience, and we all want to, you know, we want to do all that, and we don't want to pay for there very much, $100, right? Like $100, $200, that's it. We don't want to pay too much. So with that, we have to be realistic in what we get back. You can't expect the full-paying flight back if you only paid $100 to $200. So, yeah, we definitely need to work that out. And, you know, we want everything for nothing. And something's got to give because one thing we've learned is the airlines have to make money because we don't want them to go out of business because there's some places around the world in regional areas that their only way in and out is a single air carrier, probably AirAsia X in some cases, right, or AirAsia. And same thing with Australia, same thing with America. So we want to make sure they make money. However, we don't want them to gouge us as well. So we need to probably be realistic about what we want. And that's one thing you could ask your listeners is, I mean, what's most important, right? Do you want to pay a lot or do you want, to me, I just want a safe flight and I want it to be fairly inexpensive. I'll bring my own bag of nuts if I'm allowed to and bottle of water and I'll survive for an hour without food, right? Whereas in the past, you used to get a pretty nice meal. Some of the airline meals are nice. Choice of beef or chicken, right? But they've gotten rid of that to keep the cost down. So we'll go with them, I guess.
Ron, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Hey, thank you so much. And yeah, thanks for your listening.
That was aviation expert Ron Bishop talking to us about the various issues surrounding flight delays, compensation, and this is in light, of course, of recent headlines around AirAsia on these two main points. We'd like to hear from you. Our earlier question was, how would you like to see airlines respond when there are flight delays? But I actually want to add on the question that Ron brought up, which is, when we're flying, what do we prioritize? What's most important to us in this experience right now? Let us know. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.